hasn't been heartbroken by the recent images coming from urban centers around the world. It's not the peaceful protesting we find shocking. It's the unbridled violence and the scandalous destruction of public property that make us weep. And all of this, of course, on top of a global pandemic that continues to spin out of control. Well, today on Insight for Living, we're featuring a study in Lamentations that Chuck Swindoll preached only a few weeks ago. In this relevant survey of Jeremiah's journal, we'll observe the remarkable parallel between the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem and the cultural clashes of 2020.
These four chapters, by that I mean chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, are written in what is called a limping meter. Like you would limp with a sore foot, limping meter, which is the meter used in Hebrew poetry for a funeral dirge. That fits also, doesn't it? Jeremiah writes it feeling as if he's leading a funeral, as if there's a procession. And from one sad scene to another, as the city has been torn apart, a city he remembered for its beauty and joy and celebrations, all of the feasts, all through the years of growing up in Anathoth, that little village to the north of Jerusalem, the priestly village. But he would go into the city for this, for the Passover, and he would go in the city for the other celebrations. He remembered Jerusalem. No more. One more little interesting comment, if I may. In each of the chapters, someone different speaks. This will help you appreciate what we read when we get from one chapter to the next. So let's do that. In chapter 1, the city speaks. And it's so sad, I can hardly read it without crying. Jerusalem, once full of people, deserted. Streets are empty. He says later, the sound of the jackal can be heard. Animals feed on the dead bodies. It's awful. She is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Look at that analogy. She was the queen of all the earth, is now a slave in Babylon. It's just wrong. If they had only listened when I told them, you continue in this idolatry, you continue to walk in the ways of the flesh, you will suffer the consequences. They are coming. Verse 2, she sobs. See, the city is speaking. She sobs through the night. Tears stream down her cheeks. Isn't that a beautiful way to put it? The city is weeping. Among all those who loved her, there is no one left to comfort her. All of her friends betrayed her. They've all become her enemies. And now the land of Judah, that's the kingdom over which godless kings reigned, save Josiah. But as soon as his sons came, they fell again into sin. But Judah now has been led away into captivity. This once great kingdom that God established has fallen into captivity. Pagan leaders now call the shots. Bow down and worship our gods. And the people of the Jews are there, who knows how many. I've never found a count. But the city is emptied of those who were strong and young and had promise, and they're now on their way to Babylon. The roads are in mourning. The crowds no longer come to celebrate the festivals. The gates are silent, the priests groan. In the end of the chapter, he says, as the city speaks, my groans are many and I am sick at heart. Dreadful consequences. Now in chapter 2, interestingly, the Lord speaks and he's angry. He gave them a faithful prophet in Jeremiah and they pushed him back and they mistreated him and they in fact tortured him. And so he speaks to them with terms and tones that are pretty tough to read. We want to connect with the Lord only those great moments of grace and mercy and love and compassion. But I'll tell you, there is a tether to his compassion. And there is an end to his patience. And when that end comes, make no mistake, as it will, the ultimate end is the great white throne judgment. And there will be those who will cry for mercy, and there will be no mercy. Time's up. You had your moment. You resisted it. You, in fact, resented the truth. Here are the consequences. The lake of fire opens, and in goes the plunge. A place really preserved for the devil and his angels. But there are those who believe his message, not the message of the living God. God is not willing that any should perish. It doesn't please him to hurt anybody. He's not cruel. And who knows how long his grace has been at work in your life and how faithful he has been to give you life. When you know there were times you didn't deserve the breath in your lungs, but he graciously gave you another day, another year, right up to this day in June 2020. Interesting, this dates all the way back, are you ready, to July of 586 BC. The reason I pause and give you that date is because you add to that 2020. The AD years added to the 586, it's over two millennia. And still, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, turning against the things of God. You try to bring the message of Christ in our highest places. This is not a political statement. It is a statement of faith. You try to stand and declare the name of Christ. You are silenced. You're out of line, out of order. When in fact, this country was founded on the things that made us great. The things of Christ. The things of the Bible. The truths of his word. There's a limit to God's grace, God's passion, his faithfulness. And when the gavel finally falls, it's a treacherous scene. That's chapter 2. When you get to chapter 3, the prophet speaks. And he admits as he began, look at chapter 3. I'm the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. He has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old. He's broken my bones. He's felt the judgment that has come. And all the way through, he's blocked my way. He has drawn his bow. He has shot his arrows. Peace has been shipped away, says the prophet. Now, look again at this ray of hope. I got to get here. I was reading this to Cynthia last night, and she said, be sure and get to chapter 3, because she was really feeling the dregs of this, and I was too. She said, look at the hope there is in this Lamentations 3. Starting verse 20, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Remember, this is the prophet speaking. Yet I still dare to hope. I love that. Even though there isn't a lot of reason to hope, I dare to hope. I choose hope, which is a great line for all of us to remember. And then he goes further. I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. Mercies begin afresh each morning. Have to pause and apply that. When tomorrow dawns, don't pay attention to the weather of the day that's on your phone. Pay attention to the new mercies of God that are now here to wash over you. The mercies are coming, and they are here in abundance. We felt them afresh this morning when we awoke. I'm sure many of you did too. And it's exactly as he writes. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Whatever may be your situation, there's mercy. One of my mentors used to say that God's mercy is his ministry to the miserable. I've always loved that definition. The miserable need mercy, and the mercy is available. Go further. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. I choose hope. I do. I'm not a depressed person. I refuse to let the evening news determine my emotions. It gets close at times. It's hard to ride against it, but I choose hope. I'm determined to search him and his word for truth and for guidance, because I quietly wait, verse 26, for the deliverance of the Lord. Look at that. If deliverance will come, it will come from the Lord. So the prophet speaks all the way through all these 66 verses of chapter 3. In chapter 4, get this, the possessions of the city speak. The possessions speak. Chapter 1, the city spoke. Chapter 2, the Lord spoke. Chapter 3, the prophet spoke. Here, the possessions. Why would he have the possessions speak? Because that's what they live for. When you push God out of your life, you grab for things. And you need more. And enough is never enough. Someone asked Rockefeller, what does it take to really satisfy a person? He said, oh, that's an easy answer. A little bit more than he has. That's a mark of materialism. And these people have become materialistic to the core. But now look at it. Verse 1, how the gold has lost its luster. Even the finest gold has become dull. Why? Because the city has fallen. The currency is worth nothing. Nothing. They're on their way to Babylon. The sacred gemstones lie scattered in the street. See how the precious children of Jerusalem, worth their weight in fine gold, are now treated like pots of clay. There's not even the respect for life. Even the jackals feed their young. But not my people Israel. They ignore their children's cries. Through the chapter, you get the distinct feeling that, well, it's like Proverbs says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I love that verse. You counting on your riches? They fly away like an eagle. Never buried anyone who took a dime with her or with him. They all die empty-handed. That's the whole point of chapter 4. He puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? And finally, the people who are now in captivity speak. Chapter 5. Listen to them. Lord, remember what has happened to us. Isn't it interesting? They didn't have time for the Lord a few months earlier. Now they have no time for anyone more important. But now, look at where they are. They used to say to us when we would dig our parapet, or otherwise known as a foxhole in the Marine Corps, that there are no atheists in foxholes. When you dig that hole, you connect with the living God. You trust Him to get you through that battle. Remember what has happened to us. See how we have been disgraced. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers. Our homes turned over to foreigners. We are orphaned. We are fatherless. Our mothers are widowed. We have to pay for water to drink, and even firewood is expensive. I thought they were talking about the 21st century there when I came across that one. Whoever thought we'd be buying water? Our ancestors sinned, they've died. The suffering continues. We're now the slaves. Verse 18, Jerusalem is empty and desolate, a place haunted by the jackals. But Lord, you remain the same forever. Your throne continues from generation to generation. Some things never change. I just gave you the time factor. If I did my math correctly, this fall of Jerusalem was 2,606 years ago. Listen to that. And still we don't listen to him. What will it take? What will it take for the young adult growing up and making choices regarding life and the future to realize that he must trust in the Lord, or she must trust in the Lord with all her heart and lean not to her own understanding? In all my ways, submit to him. And he will make your path straight. I've never seen it fail. Hardest two words to obey, trust God. Why? I'll give it to you straight from Jeremiah. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards. Get this ending. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Not words, but actions. Mark Twain once made the interesting comment, history doesn't merely repeat itself, it rhymes. It is so similar, it has a rhyme. Listen to the rhyme of the poet. Listen to the familiar setting as you witness part of it this week. Remember, it's time to stop the cycle. It's time for God's people to be unafraid as we stand for what is right, as we believe in what is true, and as we represent it without fear of reprisal or mistreatment. I don't know where we'll spend the ending of our days. They may take our Bibles. How much of it have you committed to memory to hold your life together in that jail cell? I remember one POW saying, thankfully, there was one man in our group that was like a walking Bible, and we waited every day to hear God's word spoken as he just spoke it in his cell, and we heard it ring through the chambers of our cells. Take this seriously, men and women. This is recorded for a purpose. The way of the transgressor is hard. In the end, God wins. And when you're following him closely, you also win. Bow with me, will you? You've been so dear to sit through this. Not an easy sermon to listen to. Thank you, Father, for your great care over us. We don't deserve what you do for us, but we accept it. It's called grace. Thank you for meeting our needs when we have often not given to your work. You've been faithful to give even when we haven't. Thank you for giving us health when we don't deserve good health. Thank you for protecting us through the virus. Help those who are struggling through it. Help those who are struggling through the racial injustice of our time. How dreadful that is. What a mark on our record. Help us, Lord, to get beyond that. Give us grace, our Father, as a nation, to learn our lessons so that our history doesn't rhyme with the last history of a previous generation. Bring about change. Start in my life, our lives. Thank you in advance, our Father, for the Savior's death. We love you for sending him for us. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Chuck Swindoll's closing prayer truly reflects the emotional state of millions around the world who are distressed with the cultural conflicts of our times. We're drawing practical application from the Book of Lamentations, and Chuck titled today's message, Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. In these turbulent times, bad news seems to be the only news we hear. But the good news is that God's hand remains steady at the wheel, no matter how chaotic our roads become. Paul, who was certain of God's sovereignty, wrote a New Testament letter while under house arrest, and today it's recognized by scholars as the quintessential Bible passage on joy. Well, Chuck wrote a book on this topic. It's a classic and called Laugh Again, Experience Outrageous Joy. If it's a smile you need, we highly recommend that you study Philippians with Chuck. To purchase a copy of Laugh Again, go to insight.org/store. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. We're deep into the off-season when charitable giving tends to lag. But I'll simply remind you that your voluntary donations are critically important as we navigate what's become a very challenging season for nonprofit ministries like Insight for Living. So please follow God's prompting and give whatever amount He leads you to give. You can do that right now by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or by visiting us online at insight.org. Finally, if you're looking to supplement your weekend worship experience, remember you're invited to join the online service at Stonebriar Community Church this coming Sunday morning. Thousands of viewers are taking a virtual seat in the worship center to watch and hear the sermon from Chuck Swindoll. We'd love to have you join us. For details, go to insight.org/Sundays. In 2020, the pandemic has swept into our homes in ways we never imagined. Some have suffered greatly, but all of us have felt the loneliness of a quarantined lifestyle. Through it all, we're grateful that God has used the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll to continue uninterrupted by the coronavirus or even through civil unrest.
God's amazing grace is our overarching theme every day on Insight for Living. In fact, it's quite possible that God has used our daily program to extend His grace to you.
Well, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible in part by monthly companions, and we're inviting you to join this influential team of monthly supporters. Sign up today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world.
Become a monthly companion by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again when Chuck Swindoll's study in the Book of Lamentations continues. That's Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Jeremiah's Journal of Woes, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.